Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Great Turtle Island, everyone. I'm your host, Thomas, and I'm going to be getting out of the way very shortly. I'm simulcasting with Karen and Julie. So, Karen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. It's actually all right. It's Jolene.
Okay. And we've got Joanne on the phone. And, Joanne, I am requesting that you hand the phone to the man standing or sitting beside you, Don Yellowman, so that he can open this show with a prayer in the language of the Navajo.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Thomas. And and the other hosts that are gathered with us at this beautiful day here on our journey towards the Peace Gardens in North Dakota. But first, let me go ahead and say a prayer in the next. My name is Don Yellowman. I'm from the Navajo Nation, and I reside in a little town called Tuba City. So, thank you again, and let me go ahead and begin the prayer.
That today is Leonard Peltier's birthday, and in honor of his birthday and his life and his sacrifice for the people, we've been asked to host this radio show, and I'm honored to also, again, as Thomas just mentioned, it's being simulcasted and also co-hosted by Karen and her partner co-host, Julie. So I'd like to start off by just sharing a little background about Leonard Peltier, and I'll go ahead and capitalize this in a few minutes, but here it goes. So if those of you who've never heard of Leonard, this may be a good introduction and background to who he is as an activist. And he's also an artist, a writer, you know, a human rights activist, presidential candidate, a Nobel Prize winner. He's been a very well known in Indian nations and for Native nations for a very long time for his activism. So, in brief, he's a great grandfather, artist, writer, Indigenous rights activist. He's a citizen of the Anishinaabe and Dakota Lakota nations, who has been unjustly imprisoned since 1976. Mm-hmm. A participant in the American Indian Movement, he went to assist the Oglala Lakota people on the Pine Ridge Reservation in the mid-70s, where a tragic shootout occurred on June 26, 1975. Mm-hmm. Accused of the murder of two agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Peltier fled to Canada believing he would never receive a fair trial in the United States. On February 6, 1976, Peltier was apprehended. The FBI knowingly presented the Canadian court with fraudulent affidavits, and Peltier was returned to the United States for trial. Key witnesses were banned from testifying about FBI misconduct and testimony about the conditions and atmosphere on Pine Ridge Reservation at the time of the shootout was severely restricted. Important evidence, such as conflicting ballistics reports, was ruled inadmissible. Still, the U.S. prosecutor failed to produce a single witness who could identify Peltier as the shooter. Instead, the government tied a bullet casing found near the bodies of their agents to the alleged murder weapon, arguing that this gun had been the only one of its kind used during the shootout and that it had belonged to Peltier. Later, Mr. Peltier attorneys uncovered in the FBI's own documents that more than one weapon of the type attributed to Peltier had been present at the scene, and the FBI had intentionally concealed a ballistics report that showed that the shell casing could not have come from the alleged murder weapon. Other troubling information emerged. The agents undoubtedly followed a red pickup truck onto the land where the shootout took place, not the red and white van driven by Peltier, and compelling evidence against several other suspects existed and was also concealed. So at this time, however, the jury was unaware of these facts. Peltier was convicted and sentenced to two consecutive life terms, and he is currently imprisoned in the U.S. Penitentiary in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and is held in solitary confinement. I also know that we are planning to have some of his legal team join us on this call today. And Thomas, can you tell me if any of them have joined us as of yet? Thomas? Joanne, I have...
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Okay. I can't hear him either. This is Jolene Brightson speaking.
Hi, Jolene. Welcome to the radio show, Jolene. Would you like to interject here?
I have done a great amount of speaking with the Native people in my area of Williamsburg, Virginia. Lennard has a great amount of support, love, also protection as far as knowing that he is innocent of all charges that were placed against him. He is, like as you said, a father, a great-grandfather. He is a wonderful author, artist, speaker of our people. He has represented the American Indian movement with pride and in the form of a warrior to all that look to him as a teacher, as a warrior in the way that he has represented our male and female members. I believe that injustice has been gone on long enough. There are plenty of Lakota people, including myself, who live here in Virginia and support him with everything that we have within our spirit. We send our love and spirits to him all the time. He is never forgotten at all powwows, wherever we may be, sweat lodges. He is remembered, and he is thought of and prayed with and prayed for his release. I think it is time that that is stepped up, and the president is basically put on a spot to where he knows without a shadow of a doubt that Leonard is innocent of everything. He needs to come home to Pine Ridge to see his family, to be with his grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And this is what I pray for, and I know that everyone feels the same and prays the same every day, that we will see the day that we can all walk with him and take him home to Pine Ridge.
Oh, how beautiful. Thank you so much, Jolene, for sharing that. That's really important to hear from you.
Thank
you. Jolene, were you looking for me?
Yes, Thomas?
Were you looking for me?
Well, I wanted to find out if Michael,
I've got Delaney Bruce, and she's ready to come on.
Oh,
okay. I have Michael Peter Clark and Michael Lepart when you get them on. Put him through.
Michael's here.
I tried to call.
Michael's already here. He's on my side.
There you go. See, he's already here. So let me bring on Delaney. And Delaney, you're on the air.
Why, thank you. Sorry for the confusion this evening. I think we all got confused about time. Calling in from Fargo, North Dakota. We've got some cooler weather moving in. It looks like winter's coming already. Michael, care to come visit?
Thank you, Don.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Don, for the prayer. And thank you, Joanne and Jolene, Karen and Julie, for hosting us this evening.
You're welcome.
As you mentioned, today is Leonard's birthday. It is his 67th birthday. He has spent more than half of his life in a maximum security prison. He nevertheless perseveres and more recently has had more of a struggle than usual. On June 24th, a well-meaning, good-hearted supporter from Scotland sent Leonard a 20-pound note in the mail. Any currency is supposed to be confiscated in the mailroom at the prison and never reach a prisoner. But somehow it did reach Leonard. And actually, he was concerned about the supporter. He knew that he could not have this money, so he immediately tried to mail it out to a friend to have the funds returned to the supporter. And, of course, on the way out of the prison, the money was discovered. And Leonard was charged with being in possession of currency, lost some privileges due to that. But that entire incident triggered a search of his cell where some wires were found. The guard doing the search claimed he was shot. Leonard was charged with assaulting the correctional officer, even though he wasn't even in the room at the time. There was a hearing held, and on the 21st of July, the hearing report was released. It was decided that even though the guard had not sustained any serious physical injury, that it was nevertheless a prohibited act. To have these wires in the cell, that Leonard should have known they were there, should have known they were a hazard, should have reported them. And this was despite the fact that two guards did, in fact, say during the hearing that Leonard could not have seen the wires and, of course, had no idea that they presented any kind of a hazard. The hearing officer basically categorized the offenses of which Leonard was accused as the most severe category, right up there with killing, setting fires, possessing a gun, rioting, and taking hostages. So he had a whole slew of punishments thrown his way, a loss of good time,
being thrown into the hall for 60 days,
oh,
a disciplinary transfer, loss of his commissary privileges for 6 months, and loss of visiting privileges for 6 months. The only people at this point in time who can see Leonard are members of the legal team. An appeal was lodged. It was returned, stating that it exceeded the one-page limit. You have to understand that the appeal that was filed was 2 pages. Since then, the appeal has been condensed and resubmitted to the regional director for the Bureau of Prisons. So on August 1st, while Leonard was actually in segregation, they put another prisoner in his cell with him. And during an alleged random search of that cell, a razor blade was found to be hidden between the pages of the other gentleman's Quran. And the gentleman admitted that the razor blade was his, and Leonard was assured by the prison authorities that they knew it, he was not at fault, and they claimed that that charge has been expunged from his record. However, there's no clear evidence that this has in fact been done. Shortly after that, Amnesty International entered center stage, and they wrote to the warden at the prison to express their concern that Leonard may have been unfairly punished for offenses he did not commit, and they were also quite concerned about the conditions of his confinement and the possible serious effects of prolonged periods without adequate exercise and whatnot, and what impact all of this would have on his health, given the fact that he's known to be in a poor state of health. On August 19th, two local reporters in the Lewisburg, Pennsylvania area were due to go into the prison to interview Leonard. We were quite excited about that. It was the first time in over a decade that reporters had been allowed in to see him. That appearance was canceled, and even though they had received approval and been notified of the date. At this point in time, we don't know, subsequent to that, what the reporters were told, but the bottom line is they were not allowed to interview Leonard. On September 1st, one of the attorneys paid Leonard a visit. They noticed that his unit counselor was sitting and observing them, which was a little bit out of the ordinary. A few minutes later, two big burly guards walk in, and they have a conversation with the counselor. And in a very short time after that, all three of the men approached the table where Attorney Dugan and Leonard were sitting. They removed Leonard from the visiting room, and they conducted a strip search. It included a cavity search on the pretext that the attorney had allegedly passed something to Leonard, when in fact all she had done is to greet him, as she always does, by shaking his hand. At the end of that visit, he was strip searched again. We think all of these events are showing a very clear pattern that Leonard is currently under attack, at least within that prison, and that these attacks seem to be escalating. So today, we issued a call to action. We're asking supporters to demand a congressional investigation into the treatment of Leonard Peltier since late June, and also an investigation of the role, of any, if any, of the Federal Bureau of Investigation in what's going on there at Lewisburg, and, of course, investigate the actions of the personnel there at the penitentiary. We have information about how to do that on our website at www.whoisleonardpeltier.info. There's a link on the left sidebar concerning the call to action. And there's other things listed there that, that people can do to help as well. We did receive word. Go ahead.
If I may interrupt you, Peter Clark has joined us, and he's pressed the button on his phone because he wants to join the conversation. So I don't mean to interrupt you, but wanted to get Peter on and let him add to what you were saying. Peter, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Delaney and our host. I don't know if Michael's here.
Good evening.
Happy birthday to Leonard. And I hit the one button again by mistake, actually. I didn't mean to interrupt. and I think Delaney was about to finish up what she was saying, so maybe we should go back to her.
Well, I will give you a little piece of what we think is good news. Several hours ago, I received a phone call from Australia, and one of Leonard's family members, who is living in Australia, called the director's office at the Bureau of Prisons in Washington, D.C., and made it plain as a family member that she wanted to know Leonard's status. He is beyond the 60-day mark for solitary, and she expressed concerns, as we all have, about his health and his conditions of confinement. She said a prayer before she made that call, and I'm very glad that she did, because apparently during the course of that call, she touched the heartstrings of the gentleman she was speaking to there in the director's office, and he asked her, well, what is Leonard's number? And she relayed that information to him. He clearly entered some information into a database he had access to there for receiver and told her, all I can tell you is that Leonard Peltier is in transit. Mr. Peltier has been moved. As far as we know, and this is yet to be confirmed, he is being moved to a federal medical facility in North Carolina. Leonard was aware that this would be happening. We're not exactly clear as to why it is happening. Our hope is that finally the calls of all the supporters have gotten through and that Leonard will now receive a full medical assessment. It's not all we had hoped for. We had wanted an independent and thorough health assessment. But the fact of the matter is this federal medical facility is right next to Research Triangle Park in North Carolina, and that happens to be the location of some of the best medical facilities in this country. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, you know, looks like Creator is smiling down on Leonard today on his birthday and got him the hell out of Lewisburg. And just for that, we are quite, quite grateful. And we will certainly let supporters know the details as they come to us and provide Leonard's new address. We would like to caution you, however, we do not believe this is permanent. We expect another transfer, and it's that transfer we're most concerned about. We don't want to see Leonard go into 23-hour lockdown permanently, so we would ask supporters to continue lobbying for a transfer to a medium security facility close to his home nation, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians here in North Dakota.
Thank you very much, Delaney, for that. Peter, did you want to interject now?
Oh, I didn't need to interject. I was just joining the conversation. That's obviously great news. That's one battle behind us. Like as Delaney said, he's out of Lewisburg. The next battle will be getting him out of prison altogether. But very thankful to hear that he is in transit. I guess, Delaney, can you explain, is it a direct route when somebody gets transferred, or is there a lag time from when it'll be at Lewisburg to a medical facility?
My understanding is they were going to send him directly to North Carolina, and how long that trip actually takes obviously depends on their mode of transportation. I suspect that this transfer was supposed to happen last week, but there was some serious flooding in the area of the penitentiary there in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. So I think they had to postpone. Sometimes they do do a roundabout where they send people through a processing center in Oklahoma City. It doesn't appear that that's what's happening now. In fact, Leonard was told himself that when he went, it would be to this medical facility. He doesn't even know why. They're not doing a whole lot of explaining. They never do. And for security reasons, they don't let a prisoner know a great deal. And, you know, his attorneys couldn't even get information today. And it was just by dumb luck that Cassandra Rabideau called Washington and was given this information.
It was and also it was, persistence on her part, too.
Yes.
I didn't speak to her. I didn't know about it until you told us here, but... I would assume it's her persistence, too. I mean, she's after
very
this
much
problem.
So. And she did use the leverage of being a family member. I think that probably did help. And, I think the gentleman she spoke with gave her as much information as he could, and he probably wasn't supposed to say what he did. But we were glad to get at least some news in the fact that he was using their internal system and came back with that information tends to suggest it's 100% accurate. So we're going to have to wait until Leonard gets situated and hopefully can make a call. We do tend to believe that this is the end of his solitary confinement. So his communication with the legal team and members of the committee should improve. We have noticed that his email privileges seem to have been restored.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully we'll be hearing a lot more from him and we can all at least put our minds at ease somewhat. But like Peter says, this is a victory. We should celebrate it. It's proof positive. Supporters can and do make a difference. Don't ever doubt it. And, yes, we have a lot of work ahead of us.
Yes.
And all we can do is take one day at a time and... just keep working hard. And I mean, tens of thousands of people have worked on Leonard's behalf for nearly 36 years now, and folks just aren't going to give up. So I think when that day comes and he sees freedom, it'll be a great day of celebration and one that not any one person can take credit for, because so many people have contributed to this fight and looked out for Leonard, and we just really appreciate it, and I know it really does his heart good to know that there are people out here who care and who will continue to fight for him and make sure that he's safe and taken care of. So thank you to everybody.
Thank you, Delaney. Maybe this might be a good time for me to read a quote that he had written while incarcerated. He says here, doing time creates a demented darkness of my own imagination. Doing time does this thing to you. But, of course, you don't do time. You do without it. Or rather, time does you. Time is a cannibal that devours the flesh of your years, day by day, bite by bite. And that's Leonard Peltier's words. He's written a book from behind the cold prison bars of Leavenworth Penitentiary, and he says here, he's been called America's Nelson Mandela. Peltier is serving two life sentences for crimes U.S. government has admitted they can't prove were even committed by Peltier. He's considered by Amnesty International and many other humanitarian organizations to be a political prisoner. According to prison officials, Peltier's plight has attracted the attention of luminaries such as Britain's Queen Elizabeth. In February of 1999, the European Parliament approved a resolution calling for Peltier to be freed. France's former First Lady, Danielle Mitterrand, who is president of the French Human Rights Organization and France Libertaires, has called for the release of Leonard Peltier. The book's editor, Harvey Arden, said, "Leonard Peltier's powerful memoir, The Native American Spiritual Testament, will shake the conscience of the nation and the world. It's a flaming arrow aimed at the circled wagons of American injustice." Archbishop Desmond Tutu calls it a deeply moving and very disturbing story of a gross miscarriage of justice and an eloquent crédit-cœur of Native Americans for redress and to be regarded as human beings with inalienable rights guaranteed under the United States Constitution. And we pray that it does not fall on deaf ears. America owes it to herself. And I thought I would just throw that in. You know, the struggle and the recognition globally of this man's unjust incarceration, and that it has brought so many people together and in recognition of his sacrifice to bring awareness. I think he says it here. He is living, let me see if I can find it. He is living the Sundance, if you will. His life is the Sundance, as he says it.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting and sad, but beautiful to know that one man's spirit is not in vain, that he's truly recognized, and he carries the flame for the people, and his suffrage is not in vain, and it will not be forgotten, and he will always be remembered. Peter, did you want to interject anything here, or Michael Wolfhart?
Is Michael Peter. There tonight? I haven't heard. Hi, Michael.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, man. I'm a little under the weather. Been up for a couple days, so I'll do my best to hang in here, though.
Oh, sorry to hear you're not feeling well.
It's just exhaustion. But, go ahead, Pete, if there's something you want to bring up or talk about.
Well, being Leonard's birthday, we could cover that there were a lot and still events going on for his birthday in Oakland the other night, or today in Oakland. They're having AIM West with Len Foster talking, and Silicon Valley had an event yesterday. They showed Warrior and had a card signing, and it's a good chance these events, or no matter the turnout, it's important that you make these contacts at these events that chapters will put on. And his birthday is just one date that we always recognize and try to have different dates events around the country and the world. So there was at least a half dozen over the weekend, and a lot of good networking going on and brainstorming for the future, I guess. That'll be the big question when the news of Leonard's transfer spreads, how to direct supporters' efforts. They keep calling GOP. My quick answer would probably be yes, and they need to keep on the pressure to keep them at that facility and not move them, because the next move could be somewhere not as comfortable. But that's something we can talk about with Delaney some more. And then we have all the fall events already kind of scheduled, except for we're waiting on final word for the White House Tribal Nations Conference on the date that will be in Washington, D.C. We're hoping we're kind of planning that it'll be in the first 2 weeks of November, so we'll need to get every able-bodied person to get to D.C. for that when that takes place. But I do know that'll be a big question, and maybe we can talk about that with Delaney here, about how to direct supporters' attention now that a transfer has been achieved, now that we have, it's been a long fight, 2 years at least, I think, of people calling and trying to get Leonard transfers. So
right. It's been over 2 years, and real concerted effort on the part of supporters and the legal team. I think we really turned up the heat for transfer after Leonard's unfortunate transfer to the penitentiary, Canaan Penitentiary, where he was brutally beaten in 2009. I would respond to Next Steps as being, frankly, still lobbying to get him moved into a medium security facility close to home. His tribe is in North Dakota. The bulk of his family is up in this area. Many of the family members are now aging as well, so all this travel is very difficult. And please notice, they just moved Leonard further away. And this has been their habit over the last nearly 36 years. Prisoners are supposed to be kept within a 500-mile radius of their home. That has never been Leonard's experience, I can tell you. So I would continue to push for that, because we know that this particular transfer is a temporary one. There is one to follow. Leonard was actually told that, apparently. So naturally the concern is that they would send him to a facility that's pretty well locked down, that he would be confined to a cell 23 hours a day. That just is not appropriate. He's not a danger. He's not a problem or a so-called problem prisoner. Up until this string of incidents at Lewisburg, he had maintained a clean prison record for over 15 years. That's part of our concern, is that this seems to be a concerted effort to destroy that good record, probably in the hopes that it would have a serious impact and a negative one at that, at any efforts to get him moved to medium security or even to influence a clemency decision. So we will probably be issuing more specific calls to action in the days ahead. If people want to keep up with that, I'd recommend that you check out our website regularly. That's www.whoisleonardpeltier.info. You can also monitor our blog, and you can sign up for our mailing list from our homepage as well. Please feel free to do that. We're also on MySpace, Twitter, and Facebook. So just follow what's happening and pitch in and help as you can. And,
yeah, there's an awful lot going on. I mean, there's Leonard Peltier Walk for Human Rights coming up on December 18th is the targeted kickoff date for that, and it's supposed to end now on Memorial Day. There's a tentative route posted. Delaney posted that on the website. And that's a major amount of attention and work on its own. And then with everything else going on, it's, there's just tons for people to get involved all across the country and around the world. There's something going on near you, and if there isn't, there will be soon. Hate to sound like salesmen, but that's what we're trying to do here, is get this clemency issue on the forefront over the next year and month through the election, presidential election, and targeting February 4th to try and have rallies and marches in every region of the U.S. The Northwest region already has their campaign for, or their promotion, I guess you would say, underway for their march on that date, February 4th of 2012. We're trying to coordinate events in every, hopefully every major city, but, you know, you shoot for the moon and do with what you can do. But there is a lot going on, and we need more, and it seems to, momentum seems to be growing, and it's encouraging. We just need to keep it going.
I just want to mention to you all that just on the internet, and I'm noticing that your website is down. So you might want to check that out. who is Leonard Tell dot info is actually reading it, receiving an error page. I just would also like to mention a conversation that I had earlier today with a supporter of Leonard in the past, would do charity concert benefits on his behalf. And he recommended and suggested that perhaps bringing all the Nobel Peace Prize winners and activists to an annual to create an annual event concert benefit, and bringing these human rights and peace activists to bring the attention and awareness to the masses, not just in the United States, but on the global stage, on the world stage, so that people would begin to realize that he is being set up as a martyr here, and that the charges against him have been fabricated in order to make him out to be an example, if you will. Would anybody like to comment on that?
What was the exact suggestion? I'm sorry, I was moving my phone around.
It was a benefit concert to raise awareness on a global scale, bringing world attention, bringing global peace.
A concert, okay. I'm sorry. Well, I could just tell you that that's been tried, being tried, and is a huge undertaking and a great idea. But one that once you get into is very difficult, and to actually pull together, and it actually does take, even if people are donating their time, and there are a lot of people out there who are willing and able and want to donate their time, it still costs a lot of money to get something like that going. So that, I guess that would be always an issue, is the seed money for such a large event.
Right. You know, has anybody followed through? Maybe Delaney, this question is to you. To the World Court for Justice.
There's been talk about that over the years. It hasn't been seriously pursued. Partly because you have to go through a mechanism that is acknowledged and respected by the United States government in order to have any kind of an impact. And at this stage, you know, it's Leonard's in a tight spot, because unless, you know, in terms of the courts here in the United States, unless new evidence is brought to light, he has exhausted his criminal appeals. The legal team will be challenging the parole decision of 2009, arguing various constitutional violations added to the 20-some violations that occurred during his trial. So that is one of the legal mechanisms. But at this point in time, the only real legal mechanism is President Obama. I don't want to be too negative. I mean, there are things that are being investigated right now as possible avenues, but the case has become so complicated over the years, largely due to, you know, the maneuvering of the federal government, that it's becoming more and more and more difficult to deal with this in a court of law almost anywhere. But we're not dissuaded from involving the global community. We've done a great deal of work in the last year and a half with the United Nations. Some months ago, during the Universal Periodic Review, we succeeded in getting Cuba to actually stand up and demand the freedom of Leonard Peltier, and that happened on the floor of the UN in Geneva, Switzerland. And, you know, oddly enough, through the years, Leonard has been better known in Europe. He has a pretty large support base in Europe, and many of the human rights groups over there are working hard on his behalf and will continue to work with the committee towards Leonard's freedom. That's a lot of what people don't understand, I suppose, is that Leonard does enjoy global support. Everyone everywhere seems to grasp the injustice that has happened here. So many of these people have been responsible for things like Leonard being nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for 6 consecutive years. Just last week it was announced that Leonard is the first recipient of the International Human Rights Prize at the Mario Benedetti Foundation in Uruguay. That was wonderful news and a great honor for Leonard. And all these kinds of activities continue, and they draw attention to his case. Basically, we'll take every mechanism that we can.
Mm-hmm.
As Peter points out, I mean, some of what we'd love to do, it gets to be very difficult if you don't have huge sums of money, and the committee never has had huge sums of money. So we're going to just do the best as we can. And, you know, we always need volunteers. You know, there's going to be a tremendous amount of outreach over the next year or so. We began this month with involving the supporters directly with part of that effort and designated this as Labor Month. We're asking everybody to reach out to their union locals in their communities, talk to union members about the Peltier case, and motivate them to work with us towards securing clemency for Leonard. And these are people who understand the cost of freedom, because many unionists gave their lives, frankly, to give us weekends and holidays and an 8-hour working day, all those things that we take for granted. People lost their lives winning those rights. So that's the major outreach activity for the month, but we have quite a bit more planned. Michael's working with me now. We're going to begin a major outreach to all the colleges and universities in the United States. Their various departments, their libraries, their student governments, and other organizations. We will target any campus chapters of Amnesty International, for example. So that is a massive, massive undertaking, and right now we're in the data collection stages for that. So if anybody would like to volunteer to assist with that, they should get in touch with Michael. And we'll give them a state to tackle. And there's 50 of them. So,
your website is back up. Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, so. I went over and checked it. It was up. So I don't know what the deal with that was. But
yeah.
It's mysterious.
You're showing
those
it up online.
Things happen.
Yeah, it
is
could
there
be there.
Karen on the line?
It's showing up.
I'm here. Yeah. Hi, Karen. I'd like to invite you to invite any of your listeners to call in and ask any questions. If you have anybody in the chat or anybody who's anxious to ask Delaney or Peter or Michael any questions at this time.
All right, I'll do that. Well, currently I only have just us. It's online at the moment. But for anyone that is in a chat room and want to call in and ask questions, that number is 818-475-9250. Feel free to do so, and thank you.
And on that note, also with our radio show today, the Great Turtle Island, we would like to invite our listeners to also call in and pose any questions to our guest today. Our telephone number is 646-915-9751. And thank you all for listening and contributing to the celebration and recognition of Leonard's birthday today, and also in a very deep appreciation to Delaney and Peter and Michael for their labor so adequately named the Labor Month, September. When you think of the word labor, it denotes something very beautiful. It's something that comes from the heart, something that comes from spirit. It's a labor of love to defend a brother who is unjustly accused of crimes that he did not commit, and he's not the only one. There's so many that are incarcerated at this time for unjust unsubstantiated crimes. So, you know, we have a system, a legal system, that works for itself. It was never meant to work for the individual citizens of this United States. And you look back at the history of this nation and the historical records, you will find that people of color, people that are in descent of the United States government, the policies and actions that are illegal, even within their own description of legal or illegality, that you find that it matters not who is defending you, because again, it serves itself. The system serves itself. The courts are set up to protect the system, to protect the corporation, that's what we're facing. All indigenous people on all nations and all on all continents are facing genocide at the hand of the corporate leaders. And when I think of Leonard Peltier, he's a strong symbol of the people. And it could be that, in just my own thoughts, is that the reason they continue to hold him is because if he were to be released, it would be a great feat, would maybe perhaps stimulate a gathering that would rise up against the corporation, the system. I don't know, but it just seems the punishment doesn't justify the treatment, what he didn't even do. So again, I think him being just as an example. Peter McDonald of the Navajo Nation also spoke up against the United States government, and he was the chairman of the Navajo Nation. And when he did that, they found cause. They dug deep and found something and incarcerated him, removed him from his seat, and kept him in prison. So there's a lot of this going on. If you speak up or act out in a way that is viewed as against the system, you will be squelched and used as an example. So it's quite. I'm gonna pass the phone over to Don Yellowman. He's also very involved he actually filed a lawsuit against his own nation, the Navajo Nation, for disclosure and transparency of funds that were rehabilitation funds set aside for the Diné people, who were by policy restricted to even build an outhouse or repair a window or replace a door or any of that sort. They have no running water. They have no electricity. And the large part of the Navajo Nation. Now, that it was a Bennett Free. I'll let him speak to it. But here's Don.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much again for allowing me the time to speak. But I'll just share with you just real briefly. our situation, and for that reason, that's why I do what I do in my work, to help the people and work with an organization called Forgotten People, and in that area where I reside on Navajo Nation, since 1966 we were forbidden to build a house, repair a house. Any new construction was illegal, and so as a result, we were forced to live in conditions that were not acceptable. And to this day, many of our people drink contaminated water, contaminated by uranium and arsenic, and these are all conditions that we feel arose and are part of the so-called Bennett freeze, a land freeze that was restricted, placed a restriction placed on the Diné people on Western Navajo, and that's where I grew up, and that's where my roots are. And we're still trying to elevate our voice so our voice can be heard, and that's the organization I work with called the Forgotten People, and for all those years that people felt they were forgotten and their needs and way of life they felt needed to be addressed and dealt with, and to this day we're still trying to raise awareness about that. So our former chairman Peter McDonald of the Navajo Nation, he also was accused of taking kickbacks and charged with two people that were killed in a protest in Winter Rock, Arizona, during that time of his last time in office in 1989. And he too was sent to do time in prison. And I must also say that he also spent, I believe, a couple of years. They moved him around. He spent some time there at Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, as I remember. And we feel that that's the example that the federal government wants to make it known to us, that, you know, if you challenge the federal government, then this is what is coming your way, and this is how you will be dealt with. As I feel is the message when you try to advocate for your people's rights and the voice of the people. So I'm somewhat familiar and can understand what Mr. Peltier is facing and dealing with, and I wish that justice and what should be the correct measures should be addressed for him, and these things should be known for him. So I just want to thank everyone for allowing me this moment to speak. So thank you, Jack.
Welcome.
Thank you, Don. And again, you know, there's so many people that are coming together. For example, this particular day we're traveling to International Peace Gardens, where the Dakota Lakota Nations will be gathering. And looking at the historical record, if you will, of the people and their plight,
This is being held September 13th, 14th, and 15th. And that's in North Dakota near Manitoba. Well, it's in that Manitoba. So we're heading up there now to attend this summit. And what's interesting, too, is that there are many nations that are also attending this summit outside of the United States and Canada that are coming to listen, observe, and learn how the people can come together as one people under many flags as the indigenous on Turtle Island on this continent in support, with the support of many other nations. And so we have Australia, primarily South Pacific, who have moved towards sovereignty through trade, recognizing that sovereignty comes through trade. So again, the legal system, using the system itself to and the language and the words and the treaties to hold the federal government and England, London, there to the Queen to hold to her treaties with the indigenous people. So we'll see how that all develops. But again, it's very interesting what the movement is looking like as more international interest, and what the United States and Canadian government are doing to the indigenous here on this continent, and what can be done in collaboration and cooperation and support of other nations. So this is going to be a very interesting summit, I must say.
Joanne, I wanted to ask you.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Joanne, are you going to cite some of the things that Chaske discussed on the show on Saturday?
Well, I can't cite them because I was also traveling, but I think there was quite a bit that was mentioned there. But if you would like, after Karen, was that Karen that was trying to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Karen. Yes.
Okay. I was going to say that with what was being said prior or just a few moments ago, is people don't realize this goes on every day. You know, it's not only with people such as Leonard Peltier, but it's also on the reservations, and it's daily, you know, and it needs to stop. All this needs to stop. There's so much heartache, so much suffering going on, but people that don't know. So I'm glad to be able to come on air and talk with all of you and help get this out there.
Right. Well,
I'm Joanne, this is Michael. Could you try, is it possible for you to call a number and see if you can get Duane on the phone?
Oh, did she drop off?
No, he's wanting to get a hold of Duane Martin Sr.
Oh, Duane Martin Sr.
Because I'm not sure if he's trying to call in or what's going on, but he's trying to call me. And his area code is 605.
No, that's all right. I've got his number. I'll give him a call. You guys go ahead and talk amongst yourselves, and I will try and call him.
Don't call him at that number. Call him at 605-407.
Right, hang on a second. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Let's see here. One second. Working my magic here.
All right.
407.
Yeah, 605-407-1714, because I know he wanted to speak a little bit about Leonard himself and some of the things that he knows that went on and continue to go on up there at Pine Ridge.
Okay, you guys keep talking, and I will try and give him a call, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Well.
Okay.
I think there have been some very valid points made when you look at all the incidents that have occurred throughout Turtle Mountain and the attacks against indigenous peoples. At the root of that is always greed. And a couple of years back, there was a lot of talk about the NAFTA superhighway. That's basically an imaginary highway. It's not really a highway that's being constructed, but it's a highway nevertheless, and it runs from the southern border of the United States up to the northern border into Canada. It's meant to be a trucking and otherwise route for transporting natural resources back and forth. But when you look at it, that route passes right smack through Indian country. I don't know if it's true. I was told by an individual that one of the chiefs of a New Jersey tribe within the last year or so attended a Homeland Security meeting in which the spokesperson or the person doing the training or whatever was going on there stated outright that the most dangerous enemy to the United States at this point in time in terms of domestic groups are Native Americans. And you have to wonder why the government would think that. It's because when you look at every major concentration of indigenous peoples within the borders of the United States, they're all sitting on major deposits of natural resources that the greedy multinational corporations want to get their hands on, and of course the federal government gets a cut as well. That is one reason we do work fairly closely with environmental groups. The committee is actually a very strong believer in what I tend to call relational politics. All of us have a great deal in common with all of these other movements. So it takes all of us recognizing our commonalities that will allow us all to work together. And the bottom line, the future for all of us are entwined. So the outcome of this battle will affect all of us. So everyone should and must get involved.
Let me jump in here for a moment and say, Hoka hey, because I've got Dwayne Martin Sr. on the air, and I'm going to bring him on now. Dwayne, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Hi, Dwayne.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you all this evening?
Good.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Hi, Dwayne. It's Joanne and Dawn. How are you?
Hey, how you guys all doing, man? I hope the weather's treating you all fine.
It's beautiful. It's pouring down rain. We love it.
Great.
thank you for joining our call and contributing to our conversation about Leonard Peltier. Thank you, Jan. Would you like to interject anything here and now that we've brought you on? We'd also like you to close with a prayer when it comes time.
Well, first of all, if it's plausible, being that this is, involving, Brother Leonard, I want everybody to give me at least 2 minutes of their time so I can sing his song in honor of his birthday.
Beautiful. That would be wonderful.
And I'm going to give you Leonard Peltier's song, okay?
Okay.
That's great.
Here we go. This is the birthday song to Leonard. It's his own song, so I'm going to honor him with that.
Oh.
Hey,
Controlled by the Bureau of Prisons, so even the people that can communicate with him through that means have to be approved, and there's a list, and he can only have so many people on, and we are unable to send him links. He doesn't have access to the World Wide Web.
I see. How unfortunate. Well, I'm sure he can hear it through the vibration,
sure,
and the frequency of love that's being sent to him and for him.
Okay, I got Dwayne back. His phone dropped, but he's back now.
Okay.
And pick up right where he left off.
Okay, hey.
That song is very powerful, huh?
Yes,
it is.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Dwayne.
You know, when you're part of the struggle and you are given that opportunity to serve your people, when Leonard and us were all together in the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation during, you know, the occupation of 73 and then, you know, the incident at Oglala, we always got to remember, you know, fellow patriots like Leonard and Russell and, you know, all the ones that passed on, just like all the AIM grandmas, okay? Gladys Bissonnette, Grandma Agnes Lamont, Early Spotted War Bonnet, you know, Cecilia Martin, Bernice Whitehawk, all these grandmas that are still alive and the ones that passed on, you know, Etta Goings. I mean, there's a list of them, okay? And when we look back to the time when the havocs that are still going on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, like now, for instance, back in March 4th of 2011, the early part of the year, you know, as we went into the opening season of spring, the grandmothers launched an understanding to show that they wanted some changes in input for themselves because they were tired of being bullied and, you know, pushed around and abused and killed on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation because of certain bureaucracies and bureaucratic mentality comes from the IRA systems of, you know, enforcing policies and procedures. So just like Leonard and all the brothers that were in AIM back in the days, we took on responsibilities to safeguard our grandmothers, our women, and our children.
Yeah.
And so subsequently to that, warriors like myself and people like Leonard and numerous other ones and fellow patriots, you know, like Russ and all them, we've sacrificed ourselves, put ourselves in a predicament where we serve the well-being and the purpose because we continue to love our people.
Yeah.
And that's a power that no one can ever replace.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're abusing any type of social disorder. If you can't accept the conditions of why our people are struggling to maintain with the language, the culture, and our existing traditions, then let your tradition be alcohol and drugs because you're no longer an Indian. And I say that to the people that can't get it anymore. They don't understand. It's prevalent that today, when our people struggle with all these type of things to bring about change, no one wants to get the understanding of why our people sacrificed. And so to Brother Leonard, you know, I was in prison with him, me, him, and my Uncle Sam Martin. He passed on too. We were in Leavenworth with Leonard. He knows us. We know him. And so even out here, during the time when I was in AIM, in my youth days, I mean, I was 13 years old in the occupation of Wounded Knee. So I know exactly the turmoils and the conditions we experienced back then. And needless to say, when people start talking about all these ins and outs about why AIM existed or why our people were struggling to remain, you know, who we are in this day and age in the year 2011, all we were trying to do was preserve a unique culture that was on a verge of extinction.
Right.
3/4 of our people's language is gone. And when I make trips out towards the East Coast, and when I go to different states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, Washington, D.C., that once free open range that had coastal Indians that lived along the shorelines and some in the woodlands, they're no longer there. That's a sad experience for our people to run into. When you see the inhabitants where ours once roamed and they're not there, it's a sad feeling that will make you want to get home to where you're really from.
Yep.
And when I think about Leonard, when I think about Russell, when I think about the grandmas that passed on and the grandmas that are present today, I will never, ever forget the teachings that they told us.
Yep.
For us, as members of the Strongheart Warrior Society, we continue to serve this principle. When the voices and the heartbeats of our elders and our children and our mothers are destroyed upon earth, then and only then can the voice be silenced. The elders say that constantly. And in our language they say, Wolak hotakile lila otechike. Shampetu wanji chante nisuta ishwash akehelu hab hunta. Ulihicha po na kokata kya hechu se etuan po. You know, that kind of language and that kind of wording gives our power to our existing presence because our people held the future. And so warriors like Leonard and Russell and the ones that passed on that are giving homage to what remaining relatives that we still have,
right.
I continue to serve that purpose. In the name of Strong Heart.
Thank you. Oh, uh-huh.
Thank you, Dwayne. That was awesome. Thank you for coming on the show and with your passion and your personal path, and it resonates the struggle that continues today. And you're holding the flame for the people, and and making the personal sacrifices that continue to need to be made. So we are very appreciative and honored you, Dwayne, for who you are and who you represent and what you represent. And I want to thank you for singing the beautiful birthday or song on behalf of Leonard's birthday.
You know, if I may, because I know you got a lot of, you know, understandings that you wanted to share, you know, in honor of Leonard's birthday. But if I may, I want to give you guys a prayer sentiment on behalf of the Lakota people and all natives that continue to struggle for what remaining freedoms we have. I want to give this prayer in honor of Leonard for many more to come. And one day, we all look forward to that day where he can return home and be with his grandchildren and celebrate a real birthday amongst his people. And this prayer,
that's a wonderful
give it
prayer
to him from Strongheart and our people of the Oglala Nation, where he took on a sacrifice to help our people, our elders, our old men, and our children, and our women, so they can coexist with Mother Nature today. And this is the prayer I'm going to give you in honor of Leonard on his special day.
Thank
you. Okahe. Tichi manet. Ampetu washtekile hokshila wanji. Tu ampetu yunka wopila tanke ichiche. Oyate kilana toha. Otechike wanji wanka bha. Hokshila kile chokata iyan ha. Takish vicha ash takomani. Waksape kile makha ankata egnake. Yunka oyate kilana. Hokshila kile wahoku kyapi. Yunka iecha iyan ha. Dako ichunk tiki iecha wocheke wanji kahe. No hot train. Chano pa wanji open ha. Woglake. Na eta ha we choye troki. Niecha iachu. Na kaunspiake. Ho eta ha trokata ki yan ha. Lechu se egna kapi. Ho yun kran petu ki le. Mieche tagni blahashni. Ash taku waglake. Na woche ki le eogna ki ki he. Oksila ki le eoktunji oakishni. O kaske tranke iotie ke kaska yankare esta komni. Kachi na chante ki he, wash aki he, wache aki ki he, which aki. Ampetu ki le tu ampetu. Yung ka wekshie, le han hempi ki. Nachtatu ki le wikuta yashni hani. Wakhan tranka ki chi mane tu ampetu wanji homa tranki le namachu he. Oksila ye kaska yankare ki le ampetu ki he tiopa ki. You can he not bring the Tiwahe up to Zania Upik, the York Piche Upte. I'm better to kill a home at her. Ochimakaki on earth of the legends in Naji. Oxilaki Kiksuya, Herr Leonard Paltier, a chappy. Chazekile, Chichi Pumpy. Nakaku the legends eatunki, Wakant Hankaki Chimanek, and Nishnala Miwaka. Natiatu at Kilena. Hatia topic home at home, Makaska, Ahitumapa, Naokia, and particularly let you say, Wakes here. Oh, Metaki.
Aho.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Thank you. You know, during the times of, you know, struggles like that, and when brothers back then, you know, Leonard was in my prime like now, you know. I just turned 51. I'll be 52 here tomorrow on September 13th. I, too, am getting up there. But the fact that I wanted to share was that Leonard and all courageous warriors back in the days from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and today are continued to struggle for their freedom. And that day is going to come when the oppressor is going to really understand that the nation's people continue to still remain in balance with the supernatural powers that are out there. And when we think about Leonard, and we think about the people that made sacrifices in the movement, you know, Russell and Trudell and Banks and Camp and, you know, all the names go on, and the grandmas and grandpas, you know, all the names that I mentioned, all the grammar societies and stuff, these are the people that gave us, that spoke the language, that ability to understand that our direction coexisted with Mother Earth. And for the young generation that are coming, regardless if we're ridiculed, regardless if the purpose doesn't belong to us, and regardless if infiltration gives us the negativity, we got to remember that we're still free. And so, my brother Leonard, one day that door is going to open for you. For whatever it takes, the enemy's going to understand that he was the problem that made problems worse for the remaining people to continue to struggle for your freedom and our freedom. There's not a day that doesn't go by that we don't forget about you and many others that are inside them walls, sacrificing for what they believed in. Some people believe that they have to exist in there. Maybe that's true because the way the infiltration of how white society and the government implements its own colonial policies to affect people. Well, okay, you have them, but you don't got us. And we continue to stand together with that freedom. They always say this. The turtle gave us one life to understand what was circular. And when you look at today's society, look around and look at everything before us. The nature of reality does not put up a fence. It does not put up a wall and say we cannot live with it in freedom. The animals and the insects and the weeds and everything that grows with it continue to exist because they love one another. That's the only way they continue to share life together, just like the First Nations people and many others that are struggling and looking at the support for Brother Leonard's freedom. And for the majority of the people that are listening, even people that are still part of the American Indian Movement and numerous other things, I want all of you to understand the names that I mentioned were the real warriors and freedom fighters of the late centuries that passed and the 22nd century that we're entering in. This generation that's talking tonight, that remembered all the atrocities and all the things that Brother Leonard and Russell and the names that I expelled before have made a change in impact to give people the ability to understand it's okay to be a Lakota. And when I mean Lakota, I mean every red nation on Turtle Island, even our brothers and sisters up in grandmother's land in Canada. So with that, my people, continue to stay focused within your heart. Look inward and give that freedom and that resurrection to our brother that wants to come home and be together with his people. That's the message I share for everybody, because all the grandmothers here on Pine Ridge Indian Reservation will never, ever forget about the days that happened at Jumping Bull Community and the days that happened in Wounded Knee in 1973 and the days that happened when we took over Mount Rushmore in 1970. Lehman Brightman and all the other people that were there, Minnie Two Shoes and all them, I was a young kid in my days when my grandmother and my Aunt Lima and them went there. And I know all these things that people can't say, oh, I never was there, you never did. I was there. I did it according to this golden rule that our people gave us. We did it drug and alcohol free. And that's how I became a successful activist, because my very first time experiencing what Leonard and Russell and all the great ones had done, Bob Yellowbird Steel took on a cement company in Crawford, Nebraska in 1968. And that was the very first day I ever experienced my people together standing up to the white man in the sacred area where they murdered Crazy Horse. Okay, hey, Leonard, I love you and happy birthday to you.
Aho.
Thank you.
Love that passion. Love that spirit. Love that warrior. You're so much fun, Dwayne.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the radio show. Thomas and Karen are also, Karen is co-hosting and simulcasting this radio broadcast on in honor of Leonard's birthday. So, Karen, were you able to identify any callers that had any questions for Leonard's legal team?
Actually, my call line this evening has been quiet. I've had a lot of people in the chat room just sitting and listening. I want to wish Leonard a happy birthday. I wish that he could hear this show tonight. And, Dwayne, this was the first time I've ever heard you speak, and I'm just blown away by your words and how you think and feel about stuff. So it's amazing. I sat and smiled the whole time that I was listening to you. Beautiful song, beautiful prayer. And I'm just glad that I can be a part of this. I really am.
Great. That's great. Thomas, do you have any callers or that have any questions or comments in the chat room you care to share? Or even maybe interject a little bit about
I don't have any callers on the switchboard right now, but I do have some comments in the chat room about Dwayne's singing. So, Dwayne, you should be on the Lakota Have Talent TV show because you've got it, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And I just want to say, I had a curiosity myself. How is it that we allow these kind of things to continue when the United States of America is a foreign government in our sovereign land of Turtle Island?
You might want to also interject on Chosky Denny, his comments to you and us the other day that you started to interject with earlier, if you wanted to.
No, I just wanted to reiterate some of the things Chosky Denny said. The Cherokee Nation went back to the original treaties with the Queen of England from 1630 and reviewed the exact wording, and they declared their sovereignty as the Cherokee Nation of Indians, as it says on the treaty. And he was conveying to us that the Department of Homeland Security and the State Department were concerned because they were thinking the Cherokee was going to take their lands back and kick the United States out, and it was made very clear to them that, no, we walk with you, not behind you. We will hold to the treaties, as we always have, that we share this land with you. So it has been established with the United States government that the Cherokee Nation is the sovereign authority in their land, which goes from Georgia to Maryland and over across to Tennessee. And this was upheld by the World Court, the United Nations, and the current Queen of England. And so the thing that makes them tremble a little bit is in that treaty is a bad man clause, which can be invoked on them to resolve disputes. And if the dispute is not resolved in an amicable fashion, the dispute must always go in favor of the Indian. So if it does go that way, because the dispute cannot be resolved amicably, the disputing party with the Indian, per the bad man clause, must return to his country of origin. And in this case, nowadays, it would be returning to the country of their ancestors' origin. So the Cherokee Nation is able to print their own passports, their own driver's license, their own license plate without the approval or consent of the U.S. government. And one person has already taken advantage of that and donated a large portion of land back to the Cherokee Nation, which there was a dispute in over in court over this donation because there were no taxes paid by this man or by the Cherokee Nation. And the Cherokee Nation expressed that they don't have to pay taxes to a foreign government on anything that's in their domain. And the man that gave them the land no longer has to pay taxes because he donated the land to the Cherokee Nation, and the Cherokee Nation signed a contract or a waiver with him stating that he could live on that property in perpetuality until his dying days, and he doesn't have to pay taxes ever again. So these are things that are unfolding on Turtle Island, and there have been 13 nations that have reclaimed their sovereignty per treaties that were originally signed hundreds of years ago, and the U.S. government is obliged to obey the treaties. And that's what some of our nations are waking up to. And so that's why it puzzled me that a man is held in prison by a foreign nation on the sovereign land of Turtle Island. And you guys may be able to explore that. And I'm going to put Michael and Delaney and Peter, I'm going to put you in touch with Chaske Denny of the Lakota Nation and Chief Robert Swift Arrow Rose of the Cherokee Nation so that they can discuss with you what they did and overcoming this deception that the U.S. government has played on all of us for so very long. And it may give you a recourse to getting Leonard Peltier out of prison once and for all.
Thank you.
Yes, so thank you. I mean, sovereignty is what the whole struggle is about, right?
Okay, Joanne, I said my piece. I'm going to go back to doing peanut butter therapy now, okay?
Okay. He's going to play with his peanuts, huh?
No, I can't talk very much if I have peanut butter in my mouth. That's why I do peanut butter therapy during a show, so I can just get out of the way.
Well, thank you for that, Thomas, yeah. And I'm sure that Delaney and Peter would appreciate that the contact information. So going forward, Thomas, just in we have 15 minutes or less before we close the show. So I'd like to invite anybody to begin their final comments, beginning with Delaney, if you don't mind. Delaney.
Well, I think it's been a good day all the way around. I've always thought that Creator smiled the day Leonard was born. I suspect Creator's smiling on him today. I hope Leonard's smiling back. being out of Lewisburg is probably one of the greatest blessings he could have received on this day. In many respects, it's a miracle, and it will give him time to rest and rejuvenate and prepare for the next battle, and there's going to be plenty of them. Winning his freedom is not going to be quick. It's not going to be easy. I think many of the supporters are realizing that now. What I'm encouraged by is that many of the supporters are standing by. They're not going anywhere. They're going to continue this fight. And many people definitely believe and dream of his freedom. And I've always considered that a sign.
Beautiful. I was curious, Delaney. Delaney, have you considered putting together in your blog a petition for the people to sign so that it could go to President Obama directly?
We already have an online online resolution, and petitions and whatnot. You go on the website, check down on the left sidebar towards the bottom. There are some educational tool links there, and there's a link for petitions and a link for a sample resolution.
Obama? Is it directed directly to Obama?
Yes.
Okay.
We also, you may be making reference as well to the announcement by the White House, I believe it was last week, that they are going to be setting up a direct petition site from the White House site. We will also do that as soon as they launch that system. Our understanding is that if they receive, if any of the petitions that are posted receive 5,000 signatures within a 30-day period, that petition will be taken to the policymakers and presumably the president as well for discussion and action. So as soon as the White House is ready to do that, we'll jump on that as well. We'll jump on anything. We're easy that way.
During the end of every president's term, they can, release a prisoner. So I'm wondering
Strictly speaking, a president of the United States can grant clemency at any point in time. It's kind of a myth that they do it while leaving office. Obama has already released prisoners, although he got a very late start in doing so, which was a little disconcerting. But, yes, in terms of the politics of it, he is more likely to release Leonard on his way out of office than at any other time because he has nothing to lose at that point politically in terms of votes. So, yes, we see the actual first real big window of opportunity being after the presidential election in 2012, whether Obama wins or loses, because at that point he can do what we want him to do without too much political fallout.
Right. Timing is everything.
Most definitely.
You know.
So we have a whole lot of work to do between now and then.
Well, I'm sure that you have an army behind you in support of your efforts. So I guess if those are your closing, maybe we'd like to go to Peter next.
Oh, hi. Well, we always need more people in that army. So, people, please email any one of us. You can get our email from whoisleonardpeltier.info. My email happens to be LPsupport@whoisleonardpeltier.info. I'd like to take a minute to thank all the chapters and supporters, particularly for these past few months. It's been seemingly one call of action after another, and we try not to overburden people, but they have been more than willing, supporters have been more than willing to keep at this and be persistent, and that's what it's going to take to gain Leonard's freedom and to make this clemency campaign a success. And as Delaney was pointing out, politically and otherwise, maybe after the election would be the most expedient time for Obama to grant clemency. So we are all focusing. Everything we do is focused towards getting Leonard free. And the most expedient way for that to happen is through clemency. So everybody keep up the phone calls to the White House, the DOJ, BOP, any government acronym you can think of, I guess. And we do need to get the political will and support in Congress tuned up. There are a lot of historically been Congress people who are supporters, and some of them still are in office, so we need to get back to really rallying them. It will take a political solution, as it was so stated long ago, to free Leonard Peltier. And I guess thank our host and thank Michael Wolfhart for helping coordinate tonight. And thank Wayne for the beautiful song and prayer. And I missed the Navajo man's name.
That was Don.
Don Yellowman. Don Yellowman.
Yeah, well, if he's listening, please get in touch with me. We're not that far from each other, and perhaps there's things we can work with on together in support of getting Leonard's freedom. And again, the walk will be going right through the Four Corners region. So we need all the help we can get when the walk for the Leonard Peltier Walk for Human Rights comes through New Mexico. So with that, thank you again, and happy birthday, Leonard.
Okay. Joanne, I've got an elder of the Cree Nation that would like to come on and say a few words.
Yes, absolutely. And then if you don't mind, everyone, we'll close with a prayer. So we need about a minute, and John will close the prayer, close the show with a prayer, if that's okay with you, Thomas.
That's fine with me. Let me bring an elder of the Cree Nation on. Sydney Chief, you're on the air.
Hello, Thomas. Hello,
Sydney.
Yeah. Hi, Sydney.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, I was hoping to make it to Beast Gardens this this week and meet with all the people of North Dakota in that area and all the people that are coming to Beast Gardens from all over the world. But I guess I'm going to have to pass on that one for till next year, until they meet again some other time. But I'd like to wish Mr. Peltier a happy birthday, too, as well, from up north here in northern Canada. A couple of things I wanted to say that about Mr. Peltier. And you guys were talking about Barack Obama. And him being one of the Freemasons in Illuminati, and him being one of the people that are related to the Queen, I'm just wondering how that's going to work, being a Freemason and his role in this fiasco to put Peltier behind bars and incarcerating him. But one of the suggestions I'm thinking about is maybe perhaps it's just a suggestion that Mr. Peltier is a using his slave name, and I don't know if he has an indigenous name by his tribe. Like I myself am a Cree from the Cree Nation, and my Cree name is Snow Owl, translated. But I don't know what if Peltier has a Cree name, and if that would, if he were to go by his Cree name, how that would the system would, if they would recognize him that way. I'll give it back to you with that. Okay? Hello?
Thank you. Thank you.
Certainly. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm sorry you won't be able to make it to Peace Gardens. Certainly, I'm sure you'll be there in spirit. Again, it is going to be very exciting. It is held by the Sioux Nations and the Sioux Nation and its people, and it'll be again driven by and for the people to declare themselves as one under the law of one, the Creator's law, and that bringing that harmony. As Dwayne said, it's very important to bring the harmony between the people and Mother Earth, and it is time to ensure for future generations that we continue on this path and raising awareness and bringing collaboration together. In terms of Obama, I think that we would count on a miracle. He himself will be inspired or driven to declare his Leonard's freedom without even his understanding behind what is moving his pen. You see, this is the power of the one. And we come together in celebration of his birth, he manifests his freedom and our consciousness and his freedom so that next year, this time, he is with his family, where he belongs, celebrating his birthday with his great-great-grandchildren, grandchildren, and family members. And so with that, I want to turn it over to Don for the closing prayer
And thank you all for being on our radio show today. And Thomas, I'll let Don go ahead with the prayer now. 1 second, please. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Again, thank you. I just want to show my appreciation, express my appreciation to all those that have a concern and feel for the First Nations people, their right to exist and their right to carry on their ways of life and pass those things on to the next generation. And for those that are wanting to be a part of that and help the people, so I can't express enough of your concerns and your efforts to help people. The cat. So let me go ahead and conclude now and say a small prayer, and so we may continue on to continue our labor as to what we are the Creator wants us to pursue. But oh yeah, it's just got Jonah, it's got Nazashima, Ado Ponch to the Nano Shani, Ado Ponti in the Pont to Tan the Lee Pon, Pitrae, Pon Vivi, Sito, Ado Ponas, Nada, the Sun, and then Pon Pau, a Zinskish, Ada, a kid, Hatini, Hashinto, a Vichayel, Tito, Hashinto, Ebushahi, Ado, Hashinto, a you.
Thank you, Don, and Thomas, and thank you, everybody. Thomas?
Okay, I'm gonna close out the show with a song dedicated to Leonard, because I know this song will, the energy of this song will bring him home to his grandchildren much sooner than much later. So everybody enjoy the song, please. Here we go.
Thank you, Tom.
Hello.
Okay. Ah!
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.